In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is actually James.
This is Mike.
And we have a very special episode this week. Mike, what'd you do last week?
Oh, I don't know. I played Zelda and had mac and cheese.
With hot dogs in it?
With hot dogs in it, yeah.
Fantastic.
No other way to have it.
Childhood, right?
Childhood. Because childhood.
Yes, because childhood. Gotta have. Of course, we're referencing the video. Amazing video by Mike.
Thank you, sir.
Having to kind of deal with the production issues while James was dying. No, see, there's various levels. The joke is often made that men are the worst people to be sick because they get the man flu type thing where when they're sick, they're just terrible people.
Yeah, you got a fever and you're just completely
incapable. I can't do anything.
Woman gets
anymore.
The flu and she can still take care of her children.
Yeah.
You know, cook and clean, do all that kind
of
stuff.
I'm of the firm belief that it's a person by person
thing.
Not
to say that that's like, I'm not trying to, you know.
No, this is
not about a gender stereotype type of a deal.
Well, this is, actually it is in a sense. This is the stereotype.
Oh, yeah,
that's
guys
perpetuated.
Are lame as hell.
This is the stereotype that's perpetuated about how men and women are when they're sick. I have had enough experience in my life to know that it's a person by person basis.
Yeah.
Cause like, my whole household was sick this week, with the exception of my wife. She was the only one the grandmother didn't get sick cause she stays away from everybody. So that's good. But the wife is the only one that was in the mix of everybody that did not get sick.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing because when she's sick, what she does is she sleeps literally all the time. She'll sleep for like 20 hours a day until she's better. Which actually works because then your body's able to heal and do its thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should technically be doing.
I envy that because I can't sleep like that even when I'm sick as a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Like the last two nights or the first two nights in the last week and a half that I've actually had more than 4 hours of sleep at night.
Wow.
Because I've been so sick I haven't been able to sleep at all. Coughing so much drainage happening, no sleep for James.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
Yeah, I cannot lay down when I'm having that kind of drainage, that kind of coughing.
No, sir.
I get horizontal and I just basically cough up a lung.
Nope, not a fan.
Not a fan either. And normally I can push my way through. I'm one of those people that can, when I'm sick, I have like levels and tiers of being sick. There's like level one sick where I can still manage to do my normal stuff. I'm probably a little more apt to bite people's heads off when they're saying stupid things to me.
I can understand that.
My temper definitely is much more near the surface.
Your tolerance goes down.
Yes. But I can still go about my day-to-day stuff. Take the kids to school, pick the kids up from school, go to my own school, you know, make dinner, that kind of stuff. I may be grumbling and bitching the whole time, but I'm actually getting things done.
Yeah, not wanting to deal with it, but still doing it.
Okay, then there's level two sick.
Right.
Where, like, I get majority of my stuff done, but, like, I try to take my downtime and not do certain things. You know, prioritize a little bit better. Usually that's the sick where I'm coughing all the time. Maybe I had one week where I literally couldn't speak for the entire week. Imagine that. Yeah. My wife said that was the best week of our entire relationship.
I figured that would be what would happen.
But I went to work even during that time. I got little flashcards to be able to show people. I was still working at Blockbuster then. So I would be like, did you find everything you were looking for today?
Did you get that sick when I was working there?
I was at the different store than you at that for that,
oh,
for that
okay
portion
okay.
of time.
All right.
I was at the one on the main road, not the one over by Bel Air.
Gotcha.
Then there's, and again, at that level, I can still function.
Right.
Then there's the next level. What am I at? Level three now?
I think so.
At level three, James doesn't function at all. And for it to get that bad.
Right.
It's got to be if it's like what this was, which was more of a upper respiratory infection type thing. I'm coughing all the time, like nonstop coughing.
Mm-mm.
I'm on all the medication I can possibly be on, and my brain goes into that zone of I can't pay attention to anything.
Nope.
I look like I'm high as a kite, and my brain won't process. I spent the last week basically like that. When it gets that bad for me, I can't even drive. Now, I'm a person who always wants to drive. I can drive anywhere.
Wow.
Can't even drive. Now, the one thing that never changes throughout these levels of sickness, the one, two, and three, is my ability to eat. I can eat through all of these levels. That's why there's another level. There's a level four sick, When James is level 4 sick, that's the bad sick. That's the sick you take James to the hospital. I stop being able to eat.
Whoa.
Because normally, no matter what, even if I'm throwing up,
yeah,
I'll be in throwing up in the bathroom, leave throwing up 15 minutes later, eat something. Doesn't bother me. In fact, I make myself do it because here's the key. When you're sick like that, you need to keep drinking. You need to keep eating because your body needs fuel.
At least to be some able to semblance
fight
to,
it off.
Yeah.
Even if you're throwing up, even if you got the flu and you're throwing up everywhere,
mm-hmm.
you need to keep fluids in you. You need to keep trying to eat because at least some of that food mm-hmm. does get absorbed by your body before you throw it all back up.
Right.
You need to keep those things going in you. Like I say, level 4, that's – so I was good within level 3 this last week or two.
Damn.
And even right now, I'm only back up to about 60% of my normal operating capacity, but I'm not coughing all the time. I'm not – my head's still a little bit foggy, but not enough that I can't, you know, do my normal stuff.
That sucks.
So I've kind of moved into level – between level 2 and level 1 at this point.
Okay.
But – I wasn't going to be mean to Mike and make him have to come up with another video idea, which, by the way, again, I've told you in person, but fantastic video, Mike.
Thank you.
I love the funniest part for me is when you have the James character saying "Sir." I told you that earlier.
Yeah,
the
that's kind of like is yeah, really that kind of helped nail it home for me. Yeah. Like I was just trying to guess. Like
I mean, the Star Wars
obviously
the
was to be an extremely terrible impersonation, which that part's easy for me to do.
Okay.
Like as far as what I consider your voice to be, it doesn't fit within the
I have a very
realm
boring
of extreme.
Vanilla voice.
Yeah, it doesn't fit within a extreme vocal character. It's
yeah.
not Schwarzenegger. It's not Christopher Walken. It's not.
I was thinking Walken. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. There's not like an unmistakable. You know. It's not. Yeah. And it's not Donald Trump. It's an unmistakable voice.
You
Obama
said
is
his
not.
Name.
Oh yeah, I did. Obama another is another unmistakable voice. You
yeah.
know, Winston Churchill, that's another one. John F. Kennedy, like if we're going to go political,
yeah,
like, I mean, there's a lot of specific, you know, things you can
anybody
do.
Anybody that you see somebody doing a vocal impersonation of, the reason they can do a vocal impersonation of that person mm-hmm. is because that voice is iconic. That voice is, you know, unique in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
My voice is pretty vanilla, pretty boring, and that's okay. I'm totally fine with that as a
right.
Descriptor for my voice. I'm saying that. Mike is not. My voice is pretty boring and bland. But to throw in specific words that I use, that's the key. I mean, of course, throwing a Star Wars reference, that's expected.
Got to do
that. Throwing a hamburger reference, also expected. I love the Spice Girls reference.
I thought hamburger wasn't necessarily obscure, but I thought it also may not have been expected. Like,
well, the Star Wars and
hamburger,
Star Wars and hamburger is not obscure. That's definitely things
yeah.
that James talks about on
yeah.
a regular basis. but then to throw the sir in there, the sir is more of the thing. I don't know how much I do it on the podcast, but
you
in my regular
really, but
yeah, in regular conversation, I am constantly referring to everybody as sir. My father, in fact, gets mad at me all the time every time I call him sir.
Don't call me like, sir. I work yeah. for a living.
He pulled
well, he's
that one a couple
now.
Of times. Yeah, he's been not working for many many years. But no, it's more of I'm not a sir. I'm your dad. I'm not a sir. But yeah,
I there are a couple of friends that I use the term sir for. You are the one I use the term sir with on a constant.
Now, where'd you get it from? Where'd you get using it from? Was it from me and you started using it back
no.
with me?
No.
Where'd you use it from?
It has to do with this. I got it from Kevin Smith, actually.
Exactly. I'm glad that you mentioned
yeah,
that.
That's kind of like the thing after a certain amount of time.
Now, I want to let you guys into
Kevin
a little bit
and Jay Muse would constantly refer to each other
yeah.
as sir on
you're watching
set
the evening,
or outside
you're
of
watching
that,
the
yeah.
evening with Kevin Smith
absolutely.
And he's saying it all the time.
Absolutely.
This actually leads into something. This is a little bit of behind the scenes for people listening. Sometimes, before we do the podcast, mm-hmm. I have prepped for Mike what we're talking about.
Yes.
I give him the information. Sometimes I don't.
He
doesn't necessarily – well, I give you at least the basic topic usually.
Yeah, because I like to react like on the fly.
We are going
things.
To be speaking about the history of whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, then, and I don't give him the details. I just give him we're talking about this specific thing. And then
yeah.
sometimes I'm like, I got something made up. Don't worry. You'll find out when we're doing it. And he gives me a look like, oh, God, what the fuck is he going to do to me today? I'm going to get through this. I'll be able to do this. It's not a problem. And then there are other times where again, he's like, all right, cool. You have something. I have an idea. You know,
right.
you're not telling me what it is. We're going to – today was kind of one of those days.
Right.
Although he did chide me a little. He's like, so you you didn't plan anything out? You didn't bring a plan? I'm like, no, I got a few things to talk about, but you didn't plan anything out. I know what's going on in his head. Asshole, you were gone for 2 damn weeks. I made a freaking video. I even wrote out a script for the damn video, filmed the video, posted the video, and you don't have a topic? Get the fuck back home. So yeah. I understand his
I'll make
his
another
idea.
One.
But I have, this is...
No, actually was not where I was going with it, but... I was
quite
shocked.
I saw a little glint in your eye.
I was shocked. I was like, man, wow, okay, all right, but what are we doing?
Here's the thing. I've engineered this conversation talking about the Sir thing in the specific hope that you would mention the Sir thing.
Yes.
Because on my week of near dying
okay.
and feeling like awfulness,
all right,
I decided I had some free time because I didn't even make it to school last week. Like all last week,
you were out. Why would you expose?
My kids didn't make it to school. Everybody was home. It wasn't even so much. I wasn't worried about exposing the other adults at my school to whatever I was having. Screw them. of course, one or two of them listen to this. So I don't mean you. I mean the other ones. Yeah, I mean you. but the truth of it being, my head was not in the right space to be able to do any schoolwork because literally. I've still been processing because I was sick on what should have been either a national holiday for me or a national day of mourning for me turned into the national day of mourning. I was sick on Super Bowl Sunday. That made my team losing the Super Bowl, especially in the fashion in which they lost the Super Bowl, that much worse.
I was a little.
There were some referee issues in the game, but that does not excuse the fact that the Chiefs played a better football game than the 49ers did. The Chiefs came out
looking
the Chiefs
at it
did
overall.
Better.
Yeah, they nailed it. Well, here's the they funny came part. Out like better. As a generalized, like I've been slightly reconverted into a passing Niners fan. I would say again from our conversations.
Yeah,
and
I'll convert
the thing.
You all the way, man. I'll convert
here's
you
the,
all the way.
Here's the real deal. When I watched the Super Bowl and the fourth quarter, everything fell apart on the Niners side because that's what happened.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, like, not going to get into too far detail. I don't want to because this is not a sports podcast.
No, it's not.
But I will say the call about the touchdown, the controversial touchdown sucked. But what it did more than anything was cause serious morale damage on the Niners side.
It really did.
That's what it was.
It was
they
a shift.
Became
it was a total shift in everything.
Beyond dejected at that point, and they were so dejected that the Chiefs scored another touchdown, and it was done.
And
now, that being said, and they scored far past what could do.
Oh yeah,
even with two touchdowns and a kick in the last 2 minutes, you couldn't do that. But I will be real. The I can't be mad at the Chiefs. You can't be mad.
They did their thing.
Especially I don't know the name of the quarterback. The one not the quarterback. I think he was a running back. That he was making snow angels in the confetti when the game was over.
I don't know. I shut it off.
Okay, so it was a guy who was making snow angels in the confetti when the game was over. And I was like, of course they're celebrating, man. They're gonna have all the footage on that. And I'm like, oh, all right, you know, let's see how this goes. That guy ended up donating and paying for all of the shelter fees.
Yeah.
In the county of Kansas.
Here's the thing.
He paid for all of the dog shelter fees. Hold on. Yeah. In Kansas City, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember
as
exactly
a result
where,
of that, every one of those dogs in those shelters, I'm not sure if it was
got
one
adopted.
Shelter or in the sixth city, every one of them were adopted.
It's fantastic.
All of them were adopted. That is fantastic.
And that's the thing is, I bear no ill will towards the Chiefs.
It's like if they're being a good sport about it in that way and then learning, I can't be mad.
No, I bear no ill will towards them. They showed up at the end of the game and the Niners fell apart at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And it was just, they just couldn't keep up to what the Chiefs were doing. They played the better. For three quarters of the game, the Niners were playing fine. That last quarter was enough that the Chiefs came alive and they did their thing.
Right.
Controversial calls aside, you should be able to get past those. And you're right. It just didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
At the time, I was too fresh to be able to continue watching.
Yeah.
Because, they had just lost, so I wasn't going to watch the other team celebrate. But it sucked even more because I could barely vape during that. And, you don't know, but outside of here at your house, because
I know
you guys aren't necessarily overly fond of it. I know your wife's not fond of vaping.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it in somebody else's house without permission.
No.
I vape pretty regularly. I was so sick I couldn't vape for like 5 days.
Dang.
That's level of sick. So it was a miserable day for me. punctuated by a few amusing commercials and a interesting halftime show. But anyway, because I had all this time off, because I didn't go to school, because I didn't do any other things.
That Momoa commercial was fantastic.
Momoa was great. That was a great commercial. But because I had all these this time off, I was at a drugstore at one point, picking up more medication to pump into my body to make myself livable. Uh-huh. And they have a red box outside. And I'm like, well, you know, nothing's going on. Football's over. You know, wife is rewatching. I think Bones is what we've been rewatching. Mm-hmm. You know, on whatever streaming service Bones is on. And, you know, binge watching every episode of it. And I'm getting a little tired of Bones. And I think there was an Impractical Jokers marathon on, which is the thing I was watching when the wife wasn't mm-hmm. controlling the TV. And I was getting a little tired of Impractical Jokers marathon.
Okay.
You can only take so many times of them doing what they do. And so I rented a couple of movies.
What'd you rent?
I rented Jay and Silent Bob Reboot and Terminator Dark Fate.
And
that's the thing is, that's what I was leading into.
I bought Reboot, and I also wanted to see Dark Fate. I have not seen it yet.
Did you see Reboot?
I have not. I bought Reboot, and I haven't been able to watch it yet.
Well, I was going to come in and do a little bit of I thought about, you know what? This podcast is about nostalgia in many ways.
Yes.
It's about talking about things of our childhood. And what better things than to have watched two movies that are basically full-on nostalgia movies. Mm-hmm. And more than anything, they hit all of the right notes for nostalgia movies.
Really?
They really bring back that nostalgia feel. And it's such a big thing in marketing nowadays, this idea. I mean, again, we've talked about Stranger Things being the huge phenomenon that it is, and most of that having to do with the 80s nostalgia that it's bringing back into the fold. And I watched these movies, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to discuss a little bit about how these movies kind of made me feel nostalgic. Not to give away too many points of I mean, they're out on video now or DVD now, so you can watch them at any point in time. So I don't want to give away too many plot points necessarily.
Right.
But I definitely do want to discuss the fact that these are two examples, because we have many examples of trying in culture to play on that nostalgia stuff that fail, that don't quite get to where you want it to get to.
Right.
And I feel that these two actually do what they need to do. They hit the points in very, very good ways.
Is a really tough thing to do. Especially a lot of the time, the originators of that pop culture, a lot of those pop culture icons from that era or from most eras, whenever they try to rehash or reintroduce,
they failed.
Like a good example is the new Super Troopers film did not hold up the same. It was great. One. It was crowdfunded. It was independently produced. It was all those steps that you wanted, but it felt like it was just like it felt like a Dane Cook stand up in film form. You know what I mean?
Okay,
he's that guy, and And I'm talking like entry-level Dane Cook when he first started. Okay. All of his stuff was nostalgia jokes.
Yeah.
Hey, remember this. Hey, remember this. Hey, remember this. Okay. That's all it was for such a long time.
I just remember being angry.
More recently, he didn't get angry until his parents passed away.
Okay, that's what brought the anger on.
And after that, he became a much better comedian. Once he went through that cleansing process, more recently, he's doing something more recent now, and he has grown as a person very much. He has gotten a lot better and just more. He's become the philosopher that most great comedians become.
Okay, well,
you know what I mean? Which is good. Like, I'm all about it. Some comedians, but a lot of people just can hate
be
him.
That. Some comedians can just be that philosopher from the beginning. Yeah. Carlin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hicks.
You know what, personally?
You're not a Hicks fan?
Oh, no. Hicks? I love Hicks. Are you kidding me?
I'll tell Scotty.
I love the hell out of Bill Hicks. He was a genius.
He was.
No, another one that got me that I always thought was really smart was Gallagher. He's a lot smarter than smashing a melon with a hammer. That guy is crazy good.
That was my dad's favorite comedian.
Gallagher was fantastic. Yeah. Go back and watch his stuff. He's so analytical of society in general.
Yeah.
And he plays that card real well.
Between him and I think my dad was a big fan of Carlin, but
Carlin obviously was the same type of genius. But going back with guys like Dane Cook and all them, going on this tangent for a second, he's become that much more philosophical now.
Okay, good.
But originally when he started, he was a cheap nostalgia comedian.
Yeah.
That's all he had. But the guy was 20 and on a lot of cocaine. So, oh, actually, no. Cocaine he's been sober. Actually, I take that back. Okay. He not, has stated he has been sober. He okay. does not drink. He does not do drugs. He is a sober comedian. He's just well, a good. Crazy dude. And he's been like too. He's been pretty top shape for a long time. So that makes too. Sense. He's super. He has been sober. That's actually one of his major things. But most of it has to do with nostalgia based. Yeah. Well, and comedy, and quote unquote, when it started. You're but right. He's gotten that, better than that.
You're right that nostalgia, especially when it comes to movies, nostalgia attempts at movies can be shaky at best.
They can be.
Even TV shows, any kind of media, they get shaky. One of my favorite series of movies. Actually, the way that they handled nostalgia in the series of movies,
yeah,
they handled it well in the original three movies of the series, and then years later, when they made a fourth movie to the series,
yeah,
they actually did a really good job of tying into the first three
mm-hmm.
properly with nostalgia and still making its own thing for the modern era. What I'm speaking of is the Scream movies.
Oh, which yeah, I feel absolutely.
I feel to be the four Scream movies are really the culmination of Wes Craven's career.
Yeah,
with the exception of the one weird outlier movie in his filmmaking, Music of the Heart.
I've never seen that.
It's about a violin teacher played by Meryl Streep, who teaches
Wes Craven directed who
teaches inner city kids how to play violin. Yeah,
what Wes the
Craven
hell?
Directed it. It's one of the weirdest movies when you think about it, but it's just a really good Meryl Streep movie. Meryl Streep, you know, dramatic movie about teaching kids music and crap. But seriously, Wes Craven directed it.
That is the weirdest concept.
Yeah. When you see Wes Craven direct, you're like, is Meryl Streep going to go kill a bunch of people with violins? No, it's not. It's a straightforward, you know, drama.
Jam a violin bow through somebody's neck?
Yeah, no, it's actually a really beautiful movie. But the Scream movies are great in their encapsulation of if you're not familiar with them, then I'm... I don't know why you're alive, because you should watch the Scream movies. They're fucking brilliant films. They take the horror genre, they parody it, but still keep it horror. Like this, yeah. Like the
it's a
the,
horror the film. Scary... that's like it toes the line between being a legit horror film and then like the parody of Scream that was Scary Movie.
Yeah,
it's not a tongue in cheek slasher flick. It's a slasher flick.
It's a full on slasher movie.
Yeah,
but it smartly pokes fun at the entire genre.
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
The second
it's
one.
Very intelligent.
The second one, when they're in their film classes having discussions about sequels and all that, it's just such a beautiful movie. All three of them work very well together in that. And then you, especially because again, Wes Craven's even making fun of his previous movies in
right.
the movies, which I always
right.
love. And then the fourth one goes back and makes fun of the original three.
Yep.
It updates for a more modern time with cell phones and all the other things involved with it.
Yep.
Yet it's still a full-on slasher movie
yep.
that leaves you wondering what the hell is going on, subverts the genre still. It's an amazing set of movies, and I love it when a movie can do that.
Absolutely.
Well, like I said, these other two movies, I feel, have kind of done that. They've kind of – now, to me, the Jane Silent Bob reboot, you really have had to be a fan of the Viewisk universe.
Yeah.
And it's – I want to make sure there's a clear understanding here. This is one of the few things that I will tell that's kind of a story thing about it.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith exists in the Viewisk universe.
As an independent person from
yes.
Silent Bob?
Kevin Smith is his own person. Every Kevin Smith movie that is not an Askewniverse movie exists in the Askewniverse. So Clerks doesn't exist, obviously. Mallrats, Chasing
right.
Amy, Dogma, Clerks 2.
Right.
Jane Silent Bob Strike Back. Those are all part of the story of the universe.
Right.
But Red State.
Jersey Girl.
Tusk. These all exist. Yoga Hosers. These all exist.
As films inside the
Askewniverse. As films in the Askewniverse with Kevin Smith as director. Think about it. Ben Affleck is the bomb in Phantoms. So Ben Affleck exists as an actor. Even though there's multiple characters
God.
That look like Ben Affleck. Kevin Smith exists as a
Are
director.
Are you giving me a mad spoiler right now?
Yes and no. I'm just saying Kevin Smith exists as a director. His films exist.
Son of a bitch. This is going to be great. Okay.
I'm
looking forward to
it.
Do not tell me
how
it gets.
I love the meta level of things that happen with that.
Do not tell me how that detail gets in. I have not seen the film.
Yeah.
I want to really bad.
Well, but the thing
is... Wait, does that mean that the other actors that... You're making me... do this thing that you make me do when I start to overconsider the universe. You know me, James. Why did you do that?
I did it on purpose because I want you to watch the movie.
I hate you so much.
I know you do.
It's God, beautiful. You suck. It's okay. Beautiful. Well, that means I'm doing other things. I'm not even completing sentences where my brain's going right now because I don't want to know.
But
and
you do.
I'm gonna know.
But you do want to know.
And I hate you for it.
So
you incepting bastard.
Hey, you know, I mean, look, the top is spinning. Does it keep spinning?
Shut up.
Does it fall? What's it going to do? Do we get to be in that cool hallway?
Is it incepting or inceiving? Inceiving?
It's incepting, I think. I don't know. I only watched that movie like twice.
Because reception is the act of receiving, so wouldn't be inceiving?
The movie,
this is starting to sound sexual.
The movie is Inception, and I don't know if I want to be in your head, so whatever. But anyway, but no, you need to be, if you're familiar with the Askewniverse movies,
yeah,
to the level that I know I am, and I think that you are to a great extent, there are so many jokes, so many callbacks, so many funny things within the Jay and Silent Bob reboot movie. If you're totally new and fresh to it, half of it won't make sense.
You don't go into a movie that late into the Askewniverse and assume that you're going to be able to follow it.
No, you shouldn't.
This film is not for newcomers.
No, not at all.
Absolutely not.
Not at all. Although there are some funny new cameos in it.
Beautiful.
I mean, you in the previews they do show Fred Armisen in a cameo. His cameo is very funny.
I have not seen that preview.
There is a cameo with of wrestler Chris Jericho. Which for me is hilarious because I'm a huge wrestling fan as
well.
That's
great.
But Chris Jericho's cameo is like, you really have to know it's Jericho.
Is it kind of like having to know that it's Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder?
Kind of, I mean, like an in disguise role.
But
you do see his face for a few moments.
Right.
But like when you see his face, you're like, is that Jericho? Oh, God, it is. Wow, they got him to do that?
I've got a question.
That's amazing.
I've got another question for you. I need to know this because I've only seen it recently. Is Ethan Suplee in the film at some point?
Not that I noticed.
You might not know what he looks like.
I know what he looks like.
Okay.
In fact, I saw him in he was close to the build that he is now in Elizabeth Banks' movie. What's it called when the woman leaves after a night of sex, the woman leaves? The Walk of Shame. The movie's called The Walk of Shame.
Terrible. You mean you're talking like leaving the house after
sex.
After a one-night stand?
Yeah. And
college party?
Yeah. That kind of thing. The movie is called...
It's a terrible term. Wow.
It is a terrible
term. What
are
you talking about? Yeah.
It's the title of the movie.
Yeah.
It's the title of the movie.
Okay.
I was trying to use that I couldn't get the words Walk of Shame out of my brain.
It's okay.
So I was trying to use that as the way
whatever it's used. Yeah. It's, I get
but,
it.
Anyway, the movie's called Walk of Shame. It's a very funny movie, but he plays a police officer in that. And so, he's big. You don't see him as buff because he's in the full, it's in L.A., so he's got, I think it's in L.A., it's in a big
city.
Does
he have the beard?
No, he's got a mustache. He's got the full mustache.
Beard with a mustache?
Yeah, he's got the cop mustache.
Whoa!
Yeah. So,
Because he's gone full lumberjack now.
Yeah, he's got the full beard now, but when you see him with the mustache, at first you're like, who the hell is this guy? He's a pretty big dude. Because, I mean, he's tall, and you don't see him ripped and muscular, but he's big frame, but not fat. He's just a big framed guy, and you're like, he's a big dude. Who is it? And I remember watching it the first time, and every time I watch a movie, I go through, I go to IMDb because I want to check out who's in each individual role and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't do it in the theater because I'm not an asshole, but I do it when I'm sitting at home. I'll even do it with TV series. I'll be watching a TV series and somebody will pop up. Again, watching Bones for the last 2 weeks, there are so many people that end up being on Grey's Anatomy because I've had to watch both of those things over and over and over again. Somebody pop up and be like, oh, that's dude from Grey's. Oh, that's chick from Grey's. Oh, that's another dude from Grey's.
Yeah.
So but anyway, I had to look him up originally. I'm like, who's this dude playing the cop? That's Suplee? What the hell happened to Suplee? No, I will say in a credit sequence, it's a cut sequence from the movie. It just shows up in the credits as multiple little scenes are rolling.
Right.
At one point, Jay and Silent Bob do encounter two guys who end up being the guys that they that in Clerks 2. Is it Clerks 2? Yeah, in Clerks 2, at the very beginning of Clerks 2.
Right.
No, it isn't. It's at the beginning of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. The two guys at the beginning of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back that try to buy the weed off of them.
The kids still looking bucks, for the
little man.
The kids looking
put
for the nickel bag
in my hand. Yes,
aren't they like 15
at that time?
Yeah.
Yes, they're in the movie as adults.
Oh my God!
Selling weed.
And yes. Yes. That's fantastic.
Yes. It's so, and that's during the credits.
I'm watching this tonight. I am so watching this tonight. By the time this podcast comes out, I will have seen it.
So it has little callbacks like that. But anyway.
Damn it. I feel like I've missed out so much. I wanted to try to find, see it in the theater, but it was so limited release.
So did I. And the opportunity just wasn't there to do it.
Yeah. I didn't have it either. So I was like, okay, as soon as the DVD came out, I bought it, or the Blu-ray came out, I bought it.
Yeah. I haven't bought it. I figured I'd rent it, see what it was like before I bought it to add to my collection.
That's amazing.
And I will be buying it because the nostalgia was good. Anyway, I'm going to talk about it more in a minute. Okay. I'm going to talk about the Terminator Dark Fate.
Cool.
We're going to take a break right here because we're at roughly break time. I feel a slight urge to pee. So it's the medications. The medications are making me do it, honestly. That and like the 5 cups of coffee to keep me at least somewhat cognizant.
Nah, I get it. I'm in the same boat.
Not really.
Minus medication.
Not real coffee. I'm just old and I have to pee a lot. Anyway, we're going to take a break here for a moment. And when we come back, I have those two. Plus, I have a reveal of a snack food that has been announced is coming back. Nostalgia snack food.
Oh, really?
Like, this is like the holy grail of nostalgia snack food coming back. Not
I don't
want to
guess. I don't want to guess.
Not from me necessarily, but from like, especially the people that are slightly younger than us.
Yeah.
This is more of a millennial snack thing than it is a zennial snack thing.
Okay.
So I will say it's not my 3D Doritos because that would be a whole different conversation.
3D Doritos would
be screaming, going nuts for 3D Doritos.
Right.
Like, seriously, you don't even know.
Yep.
But this is a big, big deal. It's coming back.
Is Crystal Pepsi still out too?
Crystal Pepsi, they cycle through every other summer.
Okay.
Around August is when it comes out.
And all right.
Every year that it's come out, they only come out in 20-ounce bottles.
Gotcha.
So I go to like, they usually carry them at like dollar stores, different dollar stores, and I'll literally go in and buy 40. Cool. I'll buy 40 20-ounce Crystal Pepsis. Why?
Have it through the winter?
I just love Crystal Pepsi.
Crystal Pepsi's killer.
It doesn't last that long. What the hell are you thinking? I make it last as long as possible, but it's gone by the end of September.
Damn.
That's for damn sure.
Dang. All right.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Cool.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Zennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back, everybody. My urination went great. Just want everybody to know that.
Good.
It was very successful.
That's good. Yes. You should be fine.
No, look on your face like, seriously? That's how you're leading this off?
I was like, do you need to see a doctor?
I have. They say there's no cure. That's okay. I can
deal with
that.
There's no cure for your urine problem? Do you have a urine problem?
No.
Oh. Where are we going with this?
To the bathroom. No, anyway. Sorry, just, you know.
Okay, please continue, sir.
Okay. So what we were talking about before we had to pee, was these movies. This Jay and Silent Bob reboot that I watched and the Terminator Dark Fate that I watched.
I do want to see Dark Fate really bad.
Also, the secret snack food. We'll get to. You want to do the snack food now, or you want to wait till the very end? We'll wait till the very end.
Let's wait till the end for the snack food.
I'm going to make people have to sit and listen and be like, damn it, we have to listen to him talk about movies again so we can find out about the snack food. Yes, bitches, you do. Anyway, so the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, first of all, it's a road movie, just like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which is great.
Yeah. That's kind of what I figured it was going to be. Yeah. You're going to see a multitude of characters that you've seen again. They're going to back reference the other films as they exist in the universe.
Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah, you find that's kind of what you expect.
You
it's
find out
a revisitation of that.
Very much. Mm-hmm. But with added bonuses. They throw in, like always, they use actors to play other parts that have played previous parts before.
Cool.
So that's always nice. You got the road trip culminating with them being at a kind of con. It's called Chronic Con.
Of course it is.
And it's basically a Comic-Con type setting for fans of Bluntman and Chronic, the alter egos of Jay and Silent Bob.
Which are the comic continuity that has been, of course. God, that's great.
And there's just amazing cameos, amazing little bits of story, right. Funny bits of story. I love the fact, like in the original, I always felt like them having Carrie Fisher in the original.
Yeah,
like Carlin was in the original, the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Carlin was there, but Carlin had also been in Dogma before that.
Yeah,
and so there was already a bit of a connection there.
Right,
I always felt the Carrie Fisher connection in the original one was a kind of a throwback. I don't know. Nod, if you will, to the original Blues Brothers, where Carrie Fisher had a fairly decent sized part. Interestingly, she was seeing Dan Aykroyd at the time that they did Blues Brothers. Yeah,
I did not know that.
She was with Dan Aykroyd during that time period, but she has a fairly substantial part in Blues Brothers, and so to me that always felt like a nod back, another road movie. Blues Brothers was
right,
and actually, funny enough, Blues Brothers and another movie that was referenced, a movie referenced as a connection to your video that you posted last week.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, a friend of yours, in fact, watched the video and commented on it being I think his comment was on YouTube, "This is what I imagine Garth would do on a day that Wayne wasn't there."
Yeah,
which,
totally.
I don't know how you feel about being the Garth and me being the Wayne of
that
the
makes
situation.
Sense. It that
kinda,
makes sense.
It kind of does. I can
you
see
tend,
that.
Yeah. You tend to kind of guide things along, and I tend to just kind of be there for the ride.
Yeah,
you know?
and in social situations, I'm the one who's more likely to start and initiate the conversation.
Right.
You're going to have interesting and fun and even pithy things to say,
right.
But I'm going to be the one that kind of just runs with things, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that works. I just didn't know how you felt about the Garth situation.
No, I've always
seen myself as the Wayne of a situation. So.
Yeah.
But that totally got me thinking of a new topic, just so you know. We are going to have a topic about SNL films. At some point or another. But which Blues Brothers technically was an SNL film.
Yes.
If you really think about it.
Technically speaking, yeah.
I saw that connection, and so there is a part in this movie where they encounter a bunch of Klansmen.
Okay.
Which makes me think back to again the Nazi group that they encounter in Blues Brothers.
Right.
And then it also makes me think of for some reason or another, "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?"
Okay.
And
yeah.
The Klan script that they encounter there.
Okay.
Which then my brain goes through these tie-in things. John Goodman's in "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" as the main Klan's member. He's technically Polyphemus, the Cyclops.
I know it's based on the Odyssey.
Yeah, the Odyssey. So he basically is the.
I am not familiar with the story of the Odyssey though. So
Polyphemus the Cyclops is one of the things that they run into in the Odyssey, and he's a one-eyed thing, obviously, because he's a Cyclops. John Goodman only has one eye in the movie. In the Odyssey, they actually poke his eye out. And one of the key things is that when he asks the name of Odysseus and his who he finds at one point,
right.
Odysseus says his name is No One. And so when Polyphemus gets his eye poked out and he's screaming for help, yelling for people to help, he's saying, "No one blinded me. No one blinded me." And so none of the other Cyclopses around pay attention to his cries because
nice.
Like, no one blinded you, so who the hell cares? Just one of those funny wordplay
cute.
Things.
That, okay.
But John Goodman's in Blues Brothers 2000, taking over the spot of that Belushi.
Right.
He's not Belushi's character. He's another character that comes in to help
right.
Dan Aykroyd's character.
Yeah.
But he kind of takes over the spot of Belushi's because Belushi sadly was not alive to do it
right,
anymore.
Right, right, right.
So that's where my mind goes through weird little connections. And so when I saw the Klan's group, there's also the connection, I'm probably sure, to Red State in some way, shape, or form. But when I saw the Klan's group, I was like, oh, okay, that's what it made me think of. So it has a lot of different tropes of road movie type things for me.
Yeah.
And then I will say this without letting too much go. You get a completion of character arcs that have happened throughout all of the Askewniverse movies. You get a completion for I don't say full completion, but you see Brody Bruce again. Jason Lee is Brody Bruce in his comic store. And you get almost a rehash of some of the parts of the scene from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Is it still called The Secret Stash?
It's still called The Secret Stash,
of course
yes.
It is. That's wonderful.
And you even get the musical number at the end of the sequence with them.
Cute. You're giving me too much, man.
But you get
giving me too much info. You're spoiling things.
You do get some. You get some story completions with just about everybody that was dealt with in it is really while it takes into account what happened in Clerks 2,
mm-hmm.
it is almost a direct sequel to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and it hits all of the notes that you needed to hit.
Yeah.
And the only downside is the fact that apparently Stan Lee was supposed to have a major role in the movie
and passed away
before he was able to do any other role in the movie.
Well, didn't they start writing it after he passed?
No, it was being started to be written before he passed away. And Kevin Smith even said he was going to have a big role in the movie. And there's a little scene at the end where it's an interview and Kevin's talking to him about putting him in the movie mm-hmm. and having them act out a scene. And so Stan starts talking and Kevin just stands there and doesn't say anything. And Stan's looking at him. He goes, "Dude, I'm Silent Bob. I don't say anything." And he Stan says, "Well, go get me Jay then." It's a very funny moment. But you have to watch through the whole credits of the movie.
Yeah.
Because the whole credits are a bunch of scenes that kind of hit the cutting room floor, didn't make it as part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's one of those things that takes that nostalgia, these movies that meant so much. And Jay and Silent Bob was kind of in many ways, it was the end of it. Although when Clerks came, Clerks helped, again, complete those stories and give you more of that adult thing. This does the same thing that Clerks does, just with the rest of the characters in the Esk universe. Clerks 2, in many ways, completed the story of Dante, completed the story of Randall, and gave them kind of... They come full circle, but by the time they come full circle, their stories are complete. They're where they need to be. That's what you see kind of at the end of this.
Oh, cool.
Admittedly, they don't go around with a list of people beating up a list of people through the movie money that they made this time. But the things that they do, it does go off the rails and get a little ridiculous. You see a little bit of Yoga Hosers crazy in the movie, because that movie is, I mean, if you have not seen Yoga Hosers, oh my God, that is a crazy movie.
I still haven't seen it. I haven't seen Tusk, and I haven't seen Yoga Hosers. I'm going to say about two of them exist in the same.
All I'm
going to
say about Yoga Hosers is, at some point or another, there is literally a little bratwurst Hitler running around, just screwing shit up all over the place.
Really,
a bratwurst Hitler, played by Kevin Smith.
What? It's insane.
The movie is insane. That movie is just completely batshit crazy. Yoga Hosers. It is crazy movie.
Okay.
You can tell he was really smoking it hard during the making of that movie. But it's funny. It's really funny, but it's crazy as hell.
Okay.
There is a lot of meta stuff that happens.
Right.
In the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, but like, I was worried when I first started seeing the meta stuff. I'm like, how are they going to do this? They make it funny.
Oh, good.
They make it funny. It's still a little ridiculous, but they make
it
funny.
Right, but it's supposed to be. Yeah, like that's part of...
Jay and Silent Bob are ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous characters. You do know that Val Kilmer's in the movie.
What?
We just had to... Just so you know, on our way to the bathroom for our break, we had a discussion about which two actors have both played Batman and Doc Holliday.
Yeah.
Now, he knew Val Kilmer automatically.
Yeah. Everybody knows Val Kilmer, yeah.
But the other one took him a moment to think about, which I got
a little bit of amusement. Well, you gave me a clue without giving me a clue.
Well, you asked me for a clue, and I by saying it, it automatically gave you the clue.
Right.
I just found it amusing because of what the name is in reference to your household.
Of course.
Yeah. The other actor being Adam West.
Yep.
And you have a dog named?
Adam West.
So that's why it was amusing to me.
Yeah. And that's great.
But yes, Val Kilmer is in the movie. He has a very small cameo. Would you like me to tell you what it is?
No, stop telling me shit.
It's a good cameo. but as far as things go, it hit every, like I said, it hit every nostalgia thing I was looking for.
Yeah.
It was all the pieces I wanted, plus it gave growth to the characters. And it's one of those things, for nostalgia for me to make perfect sense, I have to feel like I was back in the time watching it, but at the same time feel like the characters, the people have grown in some way, have learned something.
And I like that.
And the fact that Kevin Smith has made all of these things, and this is like, in many ways, this is him finalizing the story of all these people, although there is still talk about a Clerks 3 being done, which would be fine, because he still could tell more about the story of Dante and Randall. The fact that he's kind of closing the Jay and Silent Bob door with this, the what he does with the characters, the way he moves the characters through this, it gives that completion that he's had kind of a full circle thing with his life. This does the same type of thing. And it's nice to have that.
I like that.
Moving on to the next film, because one night we watched the Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Uh-huh.
And again, I was able to go to bed with a smile on my face. It felt good. Then we went to watch Terminator Dark Fate. Now, what's the last Terminator movie you watched?
I have seen all of them. I've seen
So you've seen
I saw the one.
So let's go over them. Well, there's the first Terminator.
Right, there's Terminator 1,
which is in many ways a groundbreaking piece of cinema.
And, absolutely.
You know, Michael Biehn getting bit like he does in so many movies. People always want to bite Michael Biehn and him having to deal with that stuff. And then, of course, let's choose Arnold Schwarzenegger to be the Terminator because O.J. Simpson doesn't look enough like a killer. No joke.
Oops.
Yeah, no joke. That
missed
was the real,
that one.
That was the real thought was O.J. Simpson was originally going to be cast.
That and, bastard played the system, right?
Yeah, nobody thought he looked enough like a killer to be able to play the Terminator. I think we're wrong. Anyway, so you have that.
Yeah.
You have the first one. You have Terminator 2, which is in many ways probably one of the best, if not the best sequel ever.
Yeah, T2 is a fantastic
sequel.
Such
a great movie. Yeah. Great soundtrack, too. But such a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say there's only one flaw in the movie, and that's Eddie Furlong. That's the only flaw in the movie.
I mean, I didn't think that Ed Furlong was bad. Particularly, I thought he was.
I don't think
there was a
good.
Lot that was going on. Actually, if you notice, a lot of the things that was going on with him was that he was severely going through puberty at that time.
Yeah, they had to do so much with his voice.
Scenes and reshoots. Yeah, they had to do scenes and reshoots and redubbing.
Yeah.
Where his voice is
awful.
Awful. Unfortunately, like he sounds like. You know, he sounds like a little kid in some of the scenes, and
he sounds like a teenager.
Yeah, in others, and his voice is squeaking and all this. And it's kind of crazy that they intermixed the scenes as well as they did, because you notice, like, you can if you pay real close attention, you can tell the scenes where he's getting older and scenes where he was younger in the film shooting.
Yeah,
and it was over the course of a few months, I think, as they shot it.
Yeah, he had one of those growth spurts.
Yeah, he just hit a growth spurt in the middle of something you couldn't expect. But as far as the story,
the story was fantastic.
Piecing together of everything from the previous movie and making it all make sense.
Especially when you're dealing with time travel, ontological paradoxes. I mean, there's so many things that are pitfalls for time travel movies.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one of those, these two movies, you can get it right in one movie, but to get it right over multiple movies is very, very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And those two movies evidence how you can get it right over two movies and make it work. Then you get the third movie, Rise of the Machines.
The third movie just started to be, the third movie became a parody of what was going on with the continuity.
There was
one thing that was done right in that entire film. One.
What?
The end. The end was a fantastic ending for a terrible
movie. The fact that Judgment Day almost saved
the entire movie. Yeah. The revelation that comes at the end of the film, which was that the T-80, I think he was the T-802 model, because he's an upgraded model.
Basically,
you notice he has learned other things that young John Connor taught him. That's actually some of the cool stuff about that film. First off, the first thing you see he does when he breaks into the car, what's he do? He checks the visor for keys before he hotwires it, which is not what he did last time. He just breaks in and hotwires the damn thing, and then the kid shows him the keys.
It shows you he has the capability to learn.
So he's not the same model.
Yeah.
He's somebody who's different. But he's somebody
I love Dark Fate.
Okay, so I'm totally down on that.
Yeah.
The ability to learn was crucial. Okay. It was great. On top of that, after everything that happens, all of the comedy bits, the star sunglasses and
the
dude from the mental hospital that shows up during the funeral scene and all of this crazy crap that happens. It just goes way, like there's a shark jumping every 5 minutes in this film until the end. At which you find out that Connor was being lied to by the machine, by the Terminator, the entire time. And all he was doing was he was completing his mission. It was to protect John Connor because Judgment Day was inevitable and could not be stopped, and he knew it. All of the rest of the film being a complete parody upon itself almost becomes completely invalidated.
To some extent.
To some extent. It was a disaster to get there, but the ending is a shining good spot
of what is otherwise a terrible film.
Yeah, exactly. It's the only good part, but it's almost worth watching the entire film to see the end in that presentation because it's so well done.
I understand that.
But that is it. Like, I will tell you this. It is not a good movie.
No.
I will agree with you completely. It is not a good movie. But that ending, I sat through the whole thing and was like, okay, yeah, I guess. I'll just take into this with no expectation. That's normally what I do with films. That was just like, holy shit.
Okay.
That is a great ending.
Okay.
And so I became excited for the next film because I was wondering where they were going to take it after that. And then they ditched that completely.
Well, then you have Salvation.
Then Salvation,
which is just, I mean, more famous now for Christian Bale's on-set eruptions and yelling and screaming, but honestly, just a horrible mishmash of a movie. Horrible mishmash of a movie. I mean, there was just nothing
all
that worked out right with that movie.
There was one. Again, I will say there was one good thing about that film.
What?
First off, I think that the kid. The kid that played Kyle Reese, who's the one who ends up playing Chekhov in Anton Yelchin, rest in peace. Yes. He was a great actor. I think he did fantastic for who he was.
He did a pretty good job for what he was doing
But also the body double.
The body double for
Schwarzenegger was perfect.
Not bad. Okay.
And they brought him back for the next film afterwards.
Well, go ahead.
But that was... They sold the hell out of the body double with young Schwarzenegger face.
No, and that was at least a good looking part of the film.
Yeah,
but
again,
the ending of that was just
the whole thing was so horrendously convoluted.
Then you get Genesis, which is an attempt to deal with the ontological paradox part of things and the time travel and all kinds of goofiness involved.
Genesis
and John Connor is somehow a Terminator. And so it's
that was weird.
So much issues and problems with Genesis.
Part of me wants to see it again because they were doing the nostalgia thing. This was okay.
This was nostalgia done wrong.
Yes. This was the failure of continual nostalgia reference.
Yes.
This is a prime example of how you fuck that up.
Yes. Especially again, how I said Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 dealt with the time travel thing well.
Yeah.
These other movies, specifically Genesis, dealt with the time travel thing badly.
Yes.
Very badly.
It was horribly done. Again, it's like nostalgia done wrong. You see the scenes, though. Yeah. They are technologically, as
beautiful.
Far as filming, they are gorgeous.
But as
that
far as
part
the
is
rest
cool,
of it,
but
it's just,
there's... Nah. So many of these things that hit like other actors that came in as substitute parts.
Well, the fact that they recreated the scene from the original when the Terminator originally arrives in LA.
Yeah,
they recreate that with a Terminator that had been back in the past to try to kill Sarah Connor when she was younger, played by Arnold. He's aged.
Right.
He's attacking the young CGI version of Arnold.
Right.
That's the original Terminator from the first one.
Right.
And it's supposed to be this great rehash of this original scene.
Right.
And it just comes off. Eh.
Well, you know what? Half of it is the fact that you want to see the original actors. You want to see them.
Yeah.
It would have been so much easier to just not do anybody. Honestly, it would have been so much easier to get. I think did Bill Paxton die before?
He may have.
This okay. So one of the main things about these scenes specifically is that, especially in those extra scenes, Paxton was just an extra. He was a side character that had like two lines in that part of the film.
Yeah.
But now you go back and watch it, and Bill Paxton is in the film.
Yeah.
It's like reshooting. It would be like reshooting Tombstone.
Yeah.
And then not putting Billy Bob Thornton in the role where he gets slapped till he bleeds by Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's just it won't fit anymore because you know and recognize Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, did you know that he improvised all his lines in that?
Yes, I did. I learned that this morning.
You saw the same thing I did.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I did not see. I looked up the Wikipedia page, and there was just a ton. Somebody posted something earlier. A friend of mine posted something saying that Kurt Russell directed the film majority after the original.
Majority of it.
But no, it wasn't. It was Sergio. No, it was the guy who was a friend of Leone.
No, Russell actually did the direction. He just wasn't allowed to be credited with the direction because you can't. Because
it's not
There's a rule about that in as far as the Academy goes.
Really?
And the guilds go.
Because I know he helped co-write a bunch of parts and he glued the script together to make it more of a friendship between Holiday and
He ended up directing the majority of the movie.
Really?
Yeah, but he just couldn't put his name on it, so they had to put somebody else's name on it.
That's interesting.
They brought another guy in to oversee, but
for his role and for everything that they had done. He did his homework. Everybody did their homework.
Probably one of my favorite Kurt Russell roles.
So he glued that whole film together.
Between that and Backdraft, for some reason, Backdraft sticks in my head. Of course, the Backdraft version of it reminds me of my oldest brother, so that's a whole weird thing. But anyway.
Okay, getting aside from that for a minute.
Yeah.
As far as seeing those scenes without those original actors in them, you don't get it. And they did a lot of shot-for-shot stuff done very well.
They did. It just
the cinematography was fantastic.
This is an attempt at nostalgia that just didn't hit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
moving on to this, now that we've been yakking about this for 20 minutes.
This is good because it sets the scene for this.
Okay.
And it sets the scene for what I'm talking about, why these two movies hit on the nostalgia for me.
Right.
So I'm going to give a little bit away about this movie, but not really plot points.
Okay.
Just more of the kind of general setting. Some stuff I know you already know.
There's stuff I know. Are we considering this spoilers for Dark Fate at this point?
It's out because
there's major.
It's out on DVD. So, okay. And anything I say will be within the first 30 minutes of the movie, maybe. So it's not really that big a spoiler. You're going to find out immediately anyway.
Okay. Don't say. I know there's a big one. Don't say the big one.
Literally the movie starts off with that happening. Literally starts off with that happening.
That's such a...
It's within the first minute of the movie.
Minute?
Minute of the movie. It starts that way.
They even credited him in the film. That's insane.
Did
they use footage from the other film?
I don't know what footage they use because he's a kid.
Okay.
He's a kid. He's a full-on kid.
Okay.
This is not long after the events of Terminator 2.
Right.
Thing is, this is a direct sequel to Terminator 2.
Right.
And what this sequel implies...
I mean, the name of the film is called Dark Fate,
What this implies by the way that this movie happens and the way that they discuss things about this movie, this implies what people have been wondering about the Terminator films the entire time.
What?
And it has to do with how you view time travel.
Okay.
Do you view time travel as you go back in the past, you change something, and the whole timeline has changed? Or do you, when you go back in the past and change something, it creates a splinter reality where the same reality that happened already exists, but now a new reality happens? This confirms that the Terminator timelines are splintered realities.
Yep.
Completely splintered. Because what happens is...
Funny, because Star Trek just actually confirmed that recently
The Avengers have confirmed that with what happened in Endgame, all the time travel that happens in Endgame.
Yeah.
Technically, they have confirmed there are splinter realities now. And that's where some of this stuff is going to
is literally a splintered reality from different converging timelines.
From the things that happened, it's the effects of the Endgame. Yeah.
Does that mean that there's a source timeline?
A what?
Does that mean there's a source timeline?
A source that, one or an original?
Because if universes continue to split, then that means there's one source.
Maybe.
Interesting.
But
okay, we're getting into theory here. Please continue.
This is I'm going to give away the big reveal that happens because it happens at the very beginning of the movie.
Okay.
The movie starts with them. Sarah Connor and John Connor are down somewhere in Mexico, you're guessing, somewhere in a tropical area. They're at a beach area.
Okay.
John's getting something to drink at like a little tiki hut type thing or a little hut. He's getting a beverage of some type. Sarah's just sitting there relaxing. It is very evident that it is directly after the events of Terminator 2.
Okay.
Within 6 months after the events, because John is still a teenager.
Okay.
And she even says, you know, we've just defeated the Terminator. I just saved John. And then you see a Terminator, young Arnold, walk up. And he's just wearing a tight t-shirt and jeans. Walk up, shoot John, kills him dead.
Whoa.
Turns and walks away. No attacking anything else, just shoots John and kills him. Done.
Whoa.
That Terminator, it's later discussed, was there because he'd already been sent. He came from a future that was changed and no longer existed once Sarah Connor, once Sarah and John destroyed the Liquid Terminator and the last chip and all the chips in the Terminators.
Okay.
Remember, that's the key for Terminator 2 is they destroy all the chips, so Skynet never happens.
Right.
That's why the Arnold at the end of Terminator 2 lowers himself into the molten metal.
Yeah.
Is because there's one chip left, so he's got to destroy the last chip. This other Terminator that kills John was from that timeline, was from that future where Skynet existed.
Does that mean that it crosses universes?
No. He had already been sent back in time, so he was already there back in time.
Right.
But once Skynet stopped by that one Terminator,
right,
new timeline starts because this Terminator, none of his chips ever go anywhere.
He's displaced. He's displaced, so he doesn't disappear. And he has no purpose. He's displaced.
And has no purpose because he just kills John. No more purpose. Nothing else to do.
So
he can't go back.
What the hell? So you're telling me that removing Skynet did not stop the future from happening, period.
No, it did. It stopped that future from happening.
But how does he exist? But it
splintered to another future because he was already put back in the past.
So instead of the Terminator disappearing, which would be the theory that would happen. Because
the future's completely changed.
Basically, this offsets. Think about it this way. This cancels out the Back to the Future theory.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, Marty's parents never meet. Marty's never born. He starts to vanish because there's a risk of that not happening. This completely throws that out the window and goes, no, the damage has already been done. Skynet may not exist in this timeline, but the placement of this Terminator, this other Terminator, within this timeline still exists because Skynet acted before the timeline was enacted. So rather than disappearing, it offshoots it to another.
Yes.
So that means there's another reality where John Connor continues to live.
Yes. Possibly.
Son of a bitch.
I know. But.
Okay.
So it then fast forwards to modern times.
John Connor is dead. Okay.
Terminators start appearing, going after this young girl in Mexico.
Why? The mission has succeeded. Skynet doesn't exist. Wait,
no,
how does Skynet not exist, but John Connor is killed?
Because again, that thing is still back. Because the Terminator was sent before he was probably sent at the same time that the other ones were sent.
You're telling me that this closes that paradox?
Yes.
Okay. That's got to be a major plot point later. I don't want to know what it is.
Skynet does not exist. In this new future, Skynet does not exist.
What the hell, man?
However, there does exist another rampant AI militarized AI, because humans can't stop themselves from turning everything technological.
Ooh, I know. Google.
No.
Damn it.
But the story plays out in a similar way.
Okay.
And you do get Sarah Connor back as an adult.
Okay.
Or as an older woman.
Right.
Badass as always. It's so much fun to see Linda Hamilton back as a badass.
Right.
Because to me, that was the best part of Terminator 2, is how she turned from, you know, girl on the run to badass.
Right.
Just amazing. And she badasses her way through this movie. Hardcore.
Cool.
You have a female enhanced human being, not even a type of Terminator, but an android, basically enhanced human being. She's human, but she's got robotic things in her body,
right,
to make her an enhanced human that comes back.
Yeah,
Salvation.
Salvation. Yeah.
Yes,
that's the Salvation.
She comes back in time to protect the new person. And a Terminator that has the liquid metal capability, but also a full metal
skeleton. It can split into two. I have seen the previews there.
That's what's hunting her at that point. He's called a Rev 9. That's the model
Revision
number.
9. Cute.
So this is and this plays out in a very similar, albeit more elevated fashion, with the newer technology and the newer things that you can do with technology. I mean, there's a fight on a C-30 plane as the C-30 plane is going down. I mean, there's a big military cargo plane.
Uh-huh.
The cargo plane is crashing, and there's a huge fight sequence inside the crashing cargo plane.
No joke, okay.
So, I mean, the fights are on another level. It takes use of all the technology.
Yeah, so it's the right presentation of all of this.
Especially considering it was the guy that directed the first Deadpool movie.
Yeah, Tim Miller.
that did this, he made sure to get the action points in, some humor points in with it. But it has the same, the feel of the movie is very similar to Terminator 2 in the journey
That's
moving
awesome.
From place to place. It feels like that same type of movie.
So it feels like a real Terminator flick. It doesn't feel like a parody of Terminator
flicks. No, it feels like everything you should expect from
it's
a Terminator
like saying
movie.
This is the official continuity
moreover,
of the
timeline now. Moreover, it amps up the whole, recently we've seen a lot of things where movies are trying to amp up the power of women in the cast, the actors, the actresses, whatever, they're trying to give these moments. It does it without throwing it in your face.
That's great.
Without taking a moment aside to have that moment happen.
Yeah.
The moment happens at every step of the movie.
Cool.
And it's fantastically done.
I dig it. I dig that.
There is a major reveal.
Okay.
About halfway through the movie.
Okay.
With the character of Carl.
Okay.
Carl is amazing.
Okay.
Carl apparently loves window coverings. And in fact, the discussion he has about window coverings was ad-libbed by Carl's actor.
Okay.
But that reveal and the way that was handled in the movie, so amazing.
Cool.
So amazing.
Okay.
And it brings everything full circle. You get that description and understanding that this is a splinter reality, a separate reality where the same basic thing happens.
Right.
A military AI takes over everything and bombs the crap out of everything.
Wow.
But it's not Skynet. But it's the humans doing it. It's basically saying humans are going to make the same mistakes always. They're always going to lead themselves to the same mistakes if they don't basically pull their heads out of their asses.
Cool.
It's just happening
okay.
in a different
okay.
way.
I get
and
it.
Then it does subvert the story a little bit because, again, you have this person that the enhanced human has come back to protect.
Right.
It's not the way you think. It's not how you think.
Okay.
And that kind of not only hits the nostalgia points, all of them, and makes you feel like this is a Terminator movie. This is a Terminator movie I've been waiting for.
Okay.
But it brings it, just like the Jay and Silent Bob one did, it brings it modern. It hits all the right modern things that we want as well,
yeah.
while still staying true to the original idea and still having the same feel and effect that the original movies did.
So what you're telling me is this is the actual Terminator movie I have been waiting for since the third one came out like 20 years ago.
Let me put it to you this way. During the time that that Terminator 2 came out,
yeah.
I can tell you right now that my wife was one of the biggest fans of Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Between Terminator 2 and like The Crow during the 90s, those were like her two big movies.
Totally.
And she had a huge crush on Eddie Furlong as a result. She thought he was just adorable and loved him. That was one of those movies that, like, when her and I got together, she wasn't big on watching movies.
Yeah.
But, like, Terminator 2 and The Crow were movies that she had watched multiple times because she loved him so much.
Cool.
She's not watched any of the other Terminator movies because she thinks they're stupid. She sees even previews of it. She's like, no, that's dumb. I don't want to watch that. She watched this one. She was like, yep, that's the movie I've been waiting for.
That's awesome.
That's what I've been waiting for. So she was even really happy with the film.
Dude, this thing got like completely panned in reviews and stuff too.
I don't think it got the love it should have got. To me, this is exactly what I was waiting for. This is exactly what I was looking for in a Terminator movie.
That's fantastic.
And it hits everything I want it to hit.
Dig it.
And it leaves it open for more possibility. But it's its own encapsulated story. But if there were more you know sequels to it and leading up to it, it would work.
Cool.
But it can be completely standalone and be okay.
Cool.
But definitely.
All right.
So my recommendation, people, go and see if you are familiar with the Isk universe, mm-hmm. go rent or however you watch your stuff when it comes out.
Yeah.
Get Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. And if you are a fan of the Terminator movies, watch Dark Fate because I can say.
The way to go.
I was happy with it. I would own Terminator 1 and 2 and Dark Fate. I wouldn't own the rest of them.
Wow.
Because the rest of them, in my opinion, are garbage. This is the timeline whose continuation I want to see.
That's awesome.
And I think it does well with that. So I'm done with the movie talk. Here's time for the big reveal. Hopefully you all are still with us.
I was going to say, we're at the end, man.
So I saw on various news sources that a old snack is coming back. Snack is back.
Okay. Would it be?
This would be one of those things that if you had it in your lunch... This was one of those that, like, this is bragging rights type thing. this is something that people have been searching for and wanting to have back for many years now. Like I said, a little bit younger than us.
I don't want to make a guess. I want you to tell me because I don't
want you to make the guess because I want to see if you're right. What's the guess?
Okay, I got two guesses.
Okay.
First one's Go-Gurt, but I think Go-Gurt's
been around. Still, my son eats Go-Gurt on a regular basis.
Then it's got to be Dunkaroos, man.
It's Dunkaroos.
Hell yeah.
Dunkaroos down on Dunkaroos.
I will go get Dunkaroos myself. I will get them for me.
I
will not get them for children. Well, I will get them for me and my wife, and we will enjoy Dunkaroos.
You can't give them to your children because there's too much sugar in them.
True.
Your dog children do not need that.
Yeah, puppy kids cannot have that amount of sugar.
I know that my wife had a version of Dunkaroos that she would make. She had gotten a kind of pseudo recipe for the frosting, for the icing that you did.
Oh man,
it was pretty good, but it wasn't the same.
It didn't fulfill it.
No, it's not the same.
It's not quite. Yep.
But Dunkaroos, the rumor is, the story is, Dunkaroos will be coming back out, and I don't have
Dope.
A win. I don't have a win on that.
I'm there. I'm ready.
Still waiting, but yes, Dunkaroos.
My body
are
is
back.
Ready for these Dunkaroos.
You're already excited about it.
Yep, right? I am set.
So those are my nostalgia things for the week. See, I had a plan.
Yeah.
It was a weird one, but I had a plan. Thank you all for listening. Speaking of which, other than YouTube, which we know you can find us on YouTube because Mike did the awesome video last week on YouTube. By the way, the backwards hat thing was another thing I really loved about your video because I make it a point to wear my hat backwards.
Yeah.
So it's kind of I missed it the first half of this podcast and I was like, I feel weird. Oh, right. I know why. My hat's not on backwards.
I don't have like a comic book centric hat either. He normally wears an Avengers cap. He's actually got an Avengers cap with the Infinity Stones on the back. That's really cool. I would have loved to have had that. And part of me was considering, like, I don't have construction paper or enough pens, but I wanted to actually stick the stones on the hat and just like little circles.
That would be funny. The other discussion you had, the fake beard, that would have been even funnier.
We did discuss, I did want to put on like a wool beard.
That would be
go find one, but I didn't have the time, so I just did what I could, and I think it passed.
It was fantastic. So that's
thank you.
That's one place where you can definitely see us or listen to us as YouTube. You can watch like a graphic in the background if you really want to watch it while you're listening, but you can listen to us on YouTube. Where else can people find us, Mike?
Well, the main website is thezennialchronicles.com or zenchron.com. If you don't want to type that much, it's spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. Our podcast is there. We're on a lot of other different podcast networks as well. Tune in and Google, and I think you can get us on Apple if you type the URL right and all this fun stuff. There's a lot of them.
Spotify?
Spotify as well, yes. Yeah. There's a few of them. But make sure to also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Zenchron. And you can also, like James said, our YouTube page as well. Search the Zennial Chronicles on YouTube. Go like, go subscribe, and you'll get our entire archive of videos on our YouTube page.
Also, click that bell icon because that's going to let you know when we have our new episodes come out. They come out every Thursday, but still, it's nice to be able to get that notification. You get a little, hey, James and Mike are saying some shit again.
Yep.
Let me go listen to their shit. So thank you for listening. And we will hopefully be back again next week, barring any other sicknesses. All right, talk to you later.
Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.